What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the MIAA Weekly Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at miaaweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at miaaweekly. Another week in the books in the MIAA, as believe it or not, we are officially now, no matter how you look at it, past the halfway point of the college football season at the Division II level. Through 6 weeks, we are now down to just two undefeated teams in the conference, as Central Missouri and Northwest Missouri State both sit at 6-0. Of course, Northwest coming off of that big MIAA Weekly Game of the Week victory over Pittsburgh State at Arrowhead Stadium last Saturday. Like always, we're going to start the show by going through our headlines in segment one, what surprised me, the clutch performance of the week, and also what to watch moving forward before we take a little more of a closer look at last week's game of the week, once again, between Northwest Missouri State and Pittsburgh State at Arrowhead Stadium. And then in segment two, instead of having a topic of discussion, we are going to do an extended version of our mailbag. I got a good handful of questions this week that were sent in via email and also via the D2 message board instant messenger. But I also have a few older messages from weeks past that didn't really have an expiration date on them. And I was able to throw a couple of those in here too to sort of extend out the mailbag portion of that segment because of the fact that this week I've been a little bit busier with some other things that I have going on. And so I just, quite frankly, hadn't had time to really workshop a full-on discussion topic for this week. But that'll be back next week, I promise. And then, of course, we will, well, before we break down the matchups for next week, we're also going to look back on the XFL topic from last week. There were six players, by my count, from the MIAA who were drafted on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week into the XFL. So I'll give you a list of where those guys are and who drafted them, so you can sort of decide who maybe you want to cheer for in the XFL in its inaugural season. And then, like I said, we will wrap up the show like we always do by breaking down the matchups for this Saturday in the MIAA. So for our first headline, what surprised me in week six? I have one thing written down here, and it's the Fort Hays State defense. Listen, the Tigers are really good on defense. That's not a surprise. We all knew that. But it's noteworthy that just 1 week after I gave them my clutch performance of the week for holding Central Oklahoma to 7 points, they followed it up by holding Emporia State to just 3 points. Now, a couple things. First of all, I know that UCO and Emporia are not exactly offensive juggernauts this season. But in an offensive-centric league like the MIAA, to hold any two teams under 10 points, and this is the second thing, I know that there are some people listening to this right now, and your thoughts went to, well, what about Lincoln and Northeastern State? No. Any two teams in this league, if you hold them under 10 points 2 weeks in a row, that's remarkable, and that is 100% worth noting, and it's why the Fort Hays State defense is what surprised me last week. Right now, nobody in the league wants to see this Fort Hays team. I'm telling you that Coach Sobota and Coach Williamson at Central Missouri and Missouri Western are both very happy that they got Fort Hays State in the first 2 weeks, because right now, I'm not sure if there's a team in the league that's going to have an answer offensively for Fort Hays State. Our clutch performance of the week, this was kind of tough. There were a few noteworthy examples. Obviously, Marcus Andrews had 3 touchdown catches in that game between Northwest Missouri State and Pitt State. The Nebraska Kearney defense was the first defense this year to really hold Hosea Franklin in check, as the Lincoln running back had his lowest rushing production of the season with just 49 yards against the Lopers. but I decided to give it to Mitch Schurig. The Ichabod's junior quarterback came back from an injury last week, and he looked really, really good for Washburn. Washburn ended up winning a comfortable 70-13 game. Schurig was 21 of 24 for 251 yards and two touchdowns. There are some guys in this league that wouldn't go 21 of 24 if they were playing catch with their receivers with no defense. A very, very efficient performance from the coach's kid at Washburn. And the Ichabods are going to need him to keep that up, because this week they have a big matchup against Missouri Southern in Joplin, and he is going to have a game like that to keep pace with Jacob Park and that Missouri Southern offensive attack that can run with anybody as long as they can put a limit on their turnovers. And for Washburn, when you look at the way they've played this year and you look at their remaining schedule, there are only a finite number of wins or potential wins left on their slate. So this game in Joplin for them is big this weekend. And finally, what to watch for moving forward, it's the Pitt State schedule. It's about to get real in the jungle for the Gorillas. The combined record of Pitt State's first five opponents this season up to this point, so their first five games where they started 5-0, through 6 weeks, those teams' combined record is 8-22. I'm going to qualify that 8-22 by saying that included in that 8-22 is Nebraska Kearney, who's sitting at 4-2 right now. The combined record of their opponents from weeks 6-9, that's Northwest last week, and then the next 3 weeks from now, their combined record is 20-4. It all starts this week, or really it started last week with Northwest Missouri State, but then the Gorillas host Fort Hays State, travel to Warrensburg to take on undefeated Central Missouri, and then return home to take on a really tough Missouri Western team. If the Gorillas can't shake off that loss from Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium in a hurry, then what was once a very promising season has the potential to turn sideways really, really quickly. Now, I'm not saying I think that's going to happen to the Gorillas, but the potential is there with the way that this schedule sets up. This is as tough a stretch as any team in the league has over 4 weeks, what the Gorillas are about to go through. So on that note, let's travel back to Arrowhead Stadium, where Saturday, the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats stayed undefeated with a 38-17 win over the Gorillas. Now, Pittsburgh State, obviously, with that loss, they fell to 5-1 on the year. They currently sit in third place in the MIAA behind undefeated Northwest and Central Missouri. And for the Gorillas, really the big story was, if they weren't getting a massive chunk play through the air, they really weren't getting anything on offense. In their running game for the Gorillas, you know, the coaching staff really tried to make that veer attack work, and it wasn't there for them. They finished with 87 yards rushing, which, side note about that, after the game, Northwest Missouri State coach Rich Wright comes into the press conference room. Someone hands him the stats, and he flips open to the team sheet to see what the team stats were and runs his finger down the page, and he says, 87 yards rushing, that's too much. And somebody asked him, did you just say 87 yards is too much? He said, yeah, our team goal is 50. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, Northwest Missouri State is renowned as having a very, very strong run defense. But Pitt State had 87 yards rushing on 35 carries. They averaged 2.5 yards a carry. The longest run they had all day was 19. Aside from that, which Tucker Horak did that for the Gorillas, aside from that 19-yard run, Nobody else on the team had even a single 10-yard run on the day for Pittsburgh State. The Gorillas were completely bottled up on offense. You know, in addition to running 34 times for a combined 87 yards, they were 12 of 42 passing with two interceptions. Now, those 12 completions got them 254 yards and two touchdowns. Like I said, when they were getting, you know, when they were getting chunk plays, there was some potential for that to be there. But aside from that, aside from hitting on a couple of shot plays in this game, Pitt State really was not able to get anything going offensively. And that's all credit to Northwest Missouri State. After the game, Rich Wright made it sound like it was a very simple adjustment. On the first opening drive, or excuse me, not on the first opening drive, the first scoring play of the game, Brandon Malikas hit Lorenzo West for 78 yards on a touchdown. And after that play, apparently, Rich Wright said that on the sideline, he went up to his safeties and said, "Hey, we've got you guys playing about 9 yards off the line of scrimmage or 8 yards off the line of scrimmage to help support the run. We're going to drop you back to about 12 or 15 yards now to defend against the deep ball, and we're going to depend on our front seven to stop the run." And then that was it. Aside from one or two more opportunities after that over the course of the entire ball game, Pitt State didn't really break off any other huge plays like that. On the other side of the ball, Northwest Missouri State got a fantastic game from their starting quarterback, Braden Wright, running the ball. Braden Wright finished rushing with 17 carries for 172 yards, including a 48-yard touchdown to close out the game for the Bearcats. Now, he was serviceable throwing it. He was 13 of 24 for 102 yards with one touchdown. That's not, you know, world-beating numbers by any stretch of the imagination, of course. But obviously, as we saw on Saturday, you can win with that. Braden Wright was kind of he was the impetus. He was the key cog in a rushing attack that finished with 270 yards as a team. And then Mike Hohensee, the other quarterback who's starting to see more and more time for Northwest Missouri State, he was 3 of 4 passing for 54 yards and two touchdowns, including one trick play where Northwest lined up like they were going to kick a long, like it would have been about a 52-yard field goal. And when Pitt State lined up in a field goal block formation, Northwest shifted out of it, and Mike Hohensee hit Marcus Andrews for what would be his second touchdown of the game. Oh, I'm sorry, his third touchdown of the game from 35 yards out. So, again, all told, a really complete win for Northwest Missouri State. I would say that the takeaway from their side on offense is that their passing offense is probably not quite where it needs to be if they think they're going to play for a national championship this year, which at Northwest Missouri State, that's the standard. That's what they play for every year. Right now, just objectively, not critical, just objectively speaking, their passing attack is not where it needs to be. And that's not to say it can't get there. They have the talent. Again, Braden Wright was the offensive player of the year in this league last year as a freshman, he was the offensive freshman of the year last year at quarterback for Northwest. The arm ability is there. And then they've got the weapons in the tight end, Marcus Andrews, the receivers, LaTroy Harper, Imani Donadell, Gus Gomez. They've got the guys on that side of the ball to make things difficult in the passing game for opposing defenses. Mike Hohensee is coming on more and more. Like we don't see him throw it very much, but when he throws it, it's productive. So I think that Northwest is slowly starting to find the rhythm. But again, if there's one place where you could see them and try to improve, it's going to be in their passing attack on offense. For Pittsburgh State, I don't really know where to start for them offensively. Defensively, they just got gashed on quarterback runs. that was really the biggest thing. I mean, Justin Rankin came in for Northwest as their leading rusher, and he only managed 19 yards on 8 carries. They did a really good job, Pitt State did, of bottling up Rankin in the running game. But all game long, Braden Wright was able to just crush Pitt State on the ground. So, you know, on one hand, you could say maybe it's just a scheme thing. Maybe it's something that can be cleaned up in the film room. You know, the Pitt State defensive line did get to Braden Wright twice for sacks in this game, which, you know, we talked about that being a strength of this Pitt State defense. Chase Johnston and Cole Morris both had a sack for the Gorillas. But, man, the problem for Pitt State, and like I mentioned before, their schedule is so brutal. They don't have time, really, to lick their wounds. And offensively, the quarterback's going to have to find some rhythm in the passing game. And the coaching staff, in particular, is going to have to find some rhythm in knowing which way to go with this multi-quarterback, multi-system system that they're going with. You know, we saw Max Sexton come out in Veer, which is normally Brandon Malikas's thing. We saw Brandon Malikas throw the ball 5 times out of the Veer, which is not really what they typically ask him to do. But then when Max Sexton was throwing, it was kind of a flip the script situation for Pittsburgh State. Normally they get a big lead and they know defensively that the team they're playing has to throw and they get to go tee off. Well, this is kind of what happened to Pitt State on Saturday, is that they got down big. At one point in time in the first half, they were down 28-7, and Max Sexton was back there having to throw it, and he wasn't having success because this Northwest defense is just too good. They're going to stop you if they know it's coming. So Max Sexton, 10 of 35 passing, 126 yards, 1 touchdown, but 2 picks. So I would say the onus is going to be on the coaching staff for Pittsburgh State. The talent is still there. They've still got guys that can go. Tyler Atkins is still a good running back. Tucker Horak is still a good all-purpose back. Lorenzo West had a monster game despite this. Like, despite Pitt State struggling so much on offense, Lorenzo West, 5 catches, 163 yards, including that 78-yard bomb in the first quarter. So the coaching staff offensively, it's on them. They've got to figure it out. And that's not going to be an easy task against a really, really talented defense in Fort Hays State. You are listening to MIAA Weekly. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAAweekly. That is going to wrap it up for segment 1 of our show today. I'm going to take a short break and give you a quick word from our sponsor. And when we come back on the other side, we go straight into the mailbag as we give you an extended version of the mailbag segment in today's episode. Keep it locked right here. More MIAA Weekly is coming up right after this. Welcome back into MIAA Weekly. Once again, I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. And today in our episode, this is number 16 of the MIAA Weekly podcast, we're going to skip our normal topic of discussion. Again, I don't really have a good excuse, just that things in my day job and some things that I've got going on personally have taken a little more of my time than they typically do this week. And so, unfortunately, the thing that fell by the wayside is that I don't have a general topic to start off the second segment today. However, the good news is we continue to have a very engaged audience here at MIAA Weekly. And so we are going to be able to do an extended version of our weekly mailbag to kind of help fill the time. And also, I'm glad we're doing this because I like being accessible. Like I said before, I want to be as accessible as possible. And the mailbag is, as always, kind of your opportunity to have a voice on the show without me having, you know, a weird call-in line like a Paul Feinbaum situation. So our first message in the mailbag for this week is from Jeff. And Jeff asks, how bad can this get for Pitt State with the schedule laying out the way it does? It feels like all their toughest games happen in the back half of the season. As a Gorilla fan, I'm a little worried. Jeff, you're right to be worried. Like I just said in the last segment, this Pitt State schedule, especially the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks if you combine last week as well, is brutal. There's nobody, I don't think, in the MIAA that has a tougher four-week stretch than what Pitt State's going through right now. Northwest Missouri State, a really tough Fort Hays State team at home, a ranked, undefeated Central Missouri on the road, and then a highly underrated and talented Missouri Western at home. That's probably four of the five best teams in the league. And you could argue that Pitt State is the other of those five best teams. And they play them all in a four-week stretch. It's unbelievable what the schedule did to Pitt State this year. So, to answer your question, how bad can it get? It can get bad, man. I mean, Pitt State still has all the talent they need. They're really, really talented on the field. Their players are really good players. They're young in some spots. Their freshman quarterbacks sometimes play like freshman quarterbacks. As the year goes on, I question how much of a timeshare this needs to be at quarterback. I almost wonder if it would behoove them, and I don't know this. This is just me being kind of wacky radio guy. I wonder how much it hurts them offensively that they have to split their time and preparation between two systems. And how much it hurts one quarterback's rhythm, one way or the other, not knowing how many offensive series he's going to get in a given day. So, again, I don't know the answer to that question. It's reckless speculation at best, because it's one loss to a really good team against Northwest Missouri State. But potentially, how bad can this get? They could be a four-loss team. Pitt State is one of those very mercurial teams where they have the talent to be a one-loss playoff team that a team from outside of this conference is worried about seeing in the super regional, or they could be a 7-4 team that's sniffing around to see which bowl game they get. That's really kind of what the range is. I don't think they're going to be worse than that. I've seen some doom and gloom fans out there that are like, oh, this is probably going to be a 5-6 team now. No, you're not going to lose out. Calm down. This is going to be a team that has a winning record. If they were 6-5, I'd be shocked. But 7-4, I do think it's realistic. And I would say that's the worst case scenario. But at the same time, I would say don't overreact. Let's see how they look at home against Fort Hays State and then go from there. The next message is from Sam. Sam is presumably a Pitt State fan. I'm not really sure. Didn't really say. But Sam asks, Pitt State hosting Fort Hays seems like a strong candidate for the game of the week this week. Are you planning on going to the game on Saturday? Sam, I am not. Under normal circumstances, you're right. That is my game of the week this week. Spoiler alert. And under normal circumstances, I would have reached out and tried to get a credential for the game and been in attendance. However, this week is my older daughter's 8th birthday. And so on Saturday, we are having her birthday party here in Northwest Arkansas. So I will not be on the sideline for any games this week. I will be keeping an eye on things when I'm not celebrating with my family. But for that window, I'm not the host of MIAA Weekly. I'm just dad. So I will not be in Pittsburgh for that game, no. Our guy, D2 Sports Junkie, writes in via Twitter, another Pitt State question. Do you think Pitt State is as dominant as you thought they were a week ago, or have they just beaten up on opponents who aren't as good as we thought they would be? Using the examples of, there's some more detail, but he uses the examples of Nebraska, Kearney, and Central Oklahoma. Well, sidebar, first of all, I don't think that we can say that Nebraska, Kearney is not as good as we thought they were. They're 4-2. The loss against Central Oklahoma looks bad, but I still maintain that they were the better team that day, and that if records were indicative of how good they really were, I think they'd be 5-1. So that's my UNK take. But as far as Pittsburgh State, yeah, UCO is not an impressive win. I mean, UNK is their best win of the season, no question, But, I mean, you can only play who's in front of you. And they've handled the teams that they should have handled. I mean, week ones are always kind of weird, but they had a 34-3 lead or 34-7 lead in that game. They were putting UCO away for most of that game. And then the Broncos just made a comeback. But, I mean, I hate to say that they're just not any good now. Northwest Missouri State is undefeated and ranked number 7 in the country. They're going to beat everybody except for maybe one team they play. There are one, maybe two losses on their schedule. They're going to beat most teams they face. So to base this take of, you know, maybe Pitt State's terrible now. No, they're not as good as Northwest Missouri State. I picked Northwest Missouri State to win that game. I picked it to be closer than what it was, but I picked Northwest. That game went pretty similar to how I thought it was going to go. I thought Northwest would have some success running the ball. I thought that Northwest was going to stifle Pitt State's running game. I thought that the Pitt State passing game might be a little more effective than it was. But aside from that, the game went about the way I thought it was going to go. So are they completely dominant? Are they one of the 25 best defenses in the country? Maybe not. Are they one of the 3 or 4 best defenses in this league? Yeah. So, again, I'm not ready to jump off the bus entirely. Like I said, I think the worst-case scenario for Pitt State is 7-4, and we'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks. The next message we got is from Shay. Shay writes in, who is the worst 4-2 team in the MIAA right now? Nebraska Kearney is 4-2 with losses to Pittsburgh State and Central Oklahoma. Fort Hays State is 4-2 with losses to Missouri Western and Central Missouri. And Missouri Western is 4-2 with losses to Central Missouri and Northwest Missouri State. I will tell you that as of right this moment, I think Fort Hays State is the best 4-2 team. I think that if Fort Hays State went back and played Missouri Western and Central Missouri again, they might lose one of those games, but they wouldn't lose both. I think that by default, we'd have to say that the worst 4-2 team in the MIAA right now is Nebraska Kearney. But Nebraska Kearney does two things really well. They're fantastic defensively, and they are one of the absolute best in the country at running the ball. And that's not an exaggeration. They are one of the best teams in all of Division II football at running the ball. But the rules of this game, who's the worst 4-2 team? I mean, look at their losses. Central Oklahoma is far and away the worst loss on the board here. And then, you know, Pittsburgh State is 5-1. But, you know, Central Missouri is undefeated. Northwest is undefeated. That's Western's two losses. And then Fort Hays State's losses are to undefeated Central Missouri and Missouri Western. And in Central Missouri's loss, or the loss to Central Missouri for Fort Hays State, the Mules had to come back in the fourth quarter. So I think that right now Fort Hays State is the best 4-2 team. And just by default and by the rules of the question that you've asked me, I would say UNK is the worst 4-2 team in the MIAA, but I still think that they're pretty good. Jordan writes in, and this is one of those questions that was sent in to me, I think, last week that I kind of saved. Whether it's this season or sometime down the road, who do you think will be the next MIAA football team to win a national championship? The safe money on that is always going to be Northwest Missouri State. Because, like I've said before, Northwest Missouri State is one of the two or three top Division II football programs in the country. Their standard is that they expect to be a national championship contender year in and year out. They roll out of bed every July as the odds-on favorite to win the MIAA and host playoff games. I think that the safe money there is on Northwest Missouri State. If you're asking for like a dark horse in the near future, I think Central Missouri is really intriguing this year. They look like they have an offense that nobody can stop. And in this day and age in college football that travels. And their defense has improved. Their defense is a lot better than it has been in years past. They still give up yards because they give opposing teams a lot of possessions because their offense scores really fast and central in Warrensburg. But I think that Central Missouri is a very intriguing team. And I don't really have a true rooting interest in the MIAA this year, but there is a part of me that really does kind of hope that Central Missouri and Northwest Missouri State both run the table because they play each other in the final week of the season. And it would be very cool to have kind of a de facto conference championship game in week 11. Nathan writes in, why do you end every show by saying daps, high fives, and handshakes? That's a good question. And that's a question that I got last week, and I'm honestly kind of surprised I hadn't gotten that question before that. So the idea behind this show is I wanted to be accessible to everybody, and I wanted to be something that everybody who has some kind of tie to the MIAA could enjoy. Doesn't matter if you're an older person, a younger guy, a former athlete, an alum, a family member of an athlete, somebody who lives in the community where the school is, whatever. I wanted it to be something that was kind of for everybody. And so when I was thinking about how I wanted to sign off the show every week, I was thinking, well, like what's the way that people say goodbye? Like what's the sort of the farewell? Like some people say goodbye. Some people say, see you later, you know, whatever. Well, and then I was like, well, there's, you know, people shake hands when they part ways. And then I was like, well, I guess not everybody shakes hands. Some people dap each other up. Some people give high fives. And I was like, oh, well, let's just do that. So when I say daps, high fives, and handshakes, that is my way of offering my hand to the audience in whatever form is most comfortable for them. If you want me to dap you up, daps. If you want a high five, here's it. You know, there it is, up high. And if you are just kind of a traditional firm handshake, I'm here for that too. So that's sort of the oral history of the story behind the daps, high fives, and handshakes sign off. And our last mailbag entry for this week comes from Derek. Derek, my man, I promise it's soon. When will we get this announcement that you keep talking about? It feels like you've been hinting at it for like a month. It hasn't been a month. It's been about 2 weeks. But yes, that announcement is now, I can say, imminent. That will be coming this week. I would go as far as to stake something. I mean, I don't really have a reputation, but I would stake something on the fact that we will make that announcement before games kick off on Saturday. You'll have an answer. I promise. Derek, hang with me. I promise. And everybody else out there, I promise. There really is an announcement. I'm not making this up. It's exciting. It's really cool. It's something that, to my knowledge, has not been done before. I'm just waiting on a couple of more small details, but I promise. I don't want to say I promise. I really hope that we're going to be announcing it this week. You're listening to MIAA Weekly. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at miaaweekly@gmail.com for your chance to be featured in our weekly mailbag. And also follow the show on Twitter at MIAA Weekly. Last week, we gave a list, a preliminary list of guys who were former MIAA players who were members of the XFL draft pool. Well, the XFL draft was this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. It was a two-day draft with a very weird format that you can go look up if you want to. I'm not really going to get into it. But the long and short of it is that there ended up being six MIAA alums who were drafted into the XFL. So if you are a fan of Fort Hays State, Central Oklahoma, Central Missouri, Missouri Western, or Washburn, you might have an added incentive to watch the XFL, and your new favorite team might be picked out for you already. If you're a Fort Hays State fan, Doyin Jabowu, the really talented all-MIAA safety from as recent as last season, was drafted during the defensive back draft portion of the draft. So weird. Such a weird format. During the defensive backs portion of the draft, Doyin Jabowu out of Fort Hays State was drafted by the Dallas Renegades. So, again, Fort Hays State fans, if you're looking for an XFL team, might I submit for your consideration the pull for your boy, Doyin Jabowu in Dallas. The Renegades also dipped into the MIAA well one more time by drafting wide receiver Joshua Crockett out of Central Oklahoma. So, Broncos fans, you're 2-4 this year, but here's some good news. One of your guys got drafted into the XFL, and he's going to be teaming up with another former MIAA player in Dallas. So, all my people in Edmond, I mean, geographically, there was a decent chance that this was going to be the case anyway, but if you're looking for an XFL team, Dallas Renegades, that's where you got to go. The Houston Roughnecks drafted an MIAA wide receiver with an NFL pedigree as Joe Horn Jr. out of Missouri Western was taken during the open draft portion near the end of the XFL expansion draft. Central Missouri quarterback Garrett Fugit was drafted by the New York Guardians. And to me, the coolest thing that happened regarding the MIAA and the XFL is that the St. Louis Battlehawks, they didn't just draft one MIAA player. They drafted two. And they both happened to be offensive linemen. And they both happened to be Washburn alums. Brian Folkerts and Michael Miller were both drafted by the Battlehawks. Brian Folkerts was taken by the Battlehawks with their second pick during the offensive lineman portion. So out of the entire XFL draft pool, the Battlehawks took Brian Folkerts with their second pick of their offensive lineman. And then Michael Miller was taken during the open draft portion at the end of the draft. So, you know, there are some offensive line coaches that talk about the importance of chemistry along that unit. And so it's kind of a cool thing that two Washburn players got drafted by the same team on that offensive line. And that's going to be a team that I will keep an eye on for that reason. I'm kind of pulling now for both of those guys to end up with starting spots, because it'd be kind of cool to see two former MIAA starters starting on TV in St. Louis for the Battlehawks. So once again, congratulations to Fort Hays State, former Fort Hays State strong safety Doyin Jabowu, Central Oklahoma wide receiver Joshua Crockett, Missouri Western wide receiver Joe Horn Jr., Central Missouri quarterback Garrett Fugit, and Washburn offensive lineman Brian Folkerts and Michael Miller on joining the ranks of former MIAA athletes who are now getting paid to play football. Mazel tov to you guys. Cheers, salute. Genuine and sincere congratulations to you. It's a very, very cool thing that you've got another shot to make a living playing football. So once again, we've reached the part of the show where we've talked about the headlines. We discussed last week's game of the week. We went through the mailbag, and for the second week in a row, we talked about the XFL. So now there's only one thing left to do before we wrap up this episode of MIAA Weekly. It's time that we break down the matchups. Last week, after we threw in the towel on UCO, the Broncos showed some fight in jumping out to a 2-score lead on heavily favored Central Missouri. Ultimately, however, the Broncos lost that game. And meanwhile, the Griffins won a game that they were supposed to versus Missouri Southern, but they were far from convincing in the effort. Look for Western's defense to get back on track this week, and look for Wyatt Steigerwald to have a big game through the air for the Griffins. Final score, Missouri Western 34, Broncos 20. The Mules continued their offensive blitzkrieg through the MIAA last week, racking up 543 total yards and overcoming a 13-point deficit to roll past Central Oklahoma. Meanwhile, Emporia State was on the opposite end of the offensive spectrum. The Hornets managed just less than 300 total yards and scored just 3 points in a loss to Fort Hays State. Unfortunately for the home team, I'd look for Emporia to struggle to keep up with the Mules on offense in this game. Final score, UCM 45, Emporia State 21. This is the definition of a trap game for Northwest Missouri State. The Bearcats are coming off of a statement win in Arrowhead Stadium against ranked Pittsburgh State and have to turn around and travel to Nebraska to take on the Lopers in their elite rushing attack. Nebraska Kearney comes into Saturday with the number 2 ranked rushing offense in the nation, averaging well over 300 yards per game on the ground. On the other hand, Northwest held the Gorillas to just 87 yards on the ground last week on 35 carries. Head coach Rich Wright's reaction to that number, quote, "That's too many yards." What we have here is the proverbial battle between the unstoppable force and the immovable object. On Saturday, I think the immovable object refuses to budge. Final score, Northwest 38, Nebraska Kearney 24. It may sound silly, but this game is one of the biggest of the year in the MIAA. The loser of Saturday's matchup between Northeastern State and Lincoln will go winless in 2019 and finish last in this league. Hosea Franklin is the biggest star in this game, as the Blue Tiger running back has rushed for 854 yards through 6 games this season, despite being held to a season-low 49 yards last week. The Riverhawks surrender 338.5 yards rushing per game this season. That is the worst rush defense in the nation at the Division II level. My prediction? Northeastern State looks solid on offense, but Franklin absolutely eats in the Blue Tigers' only W of 2019. Final score, Blue Tigers 28, Riverhawks 20. Last week, Missouri Southern put a scare into the Griffins in St. Joseph. The Lions outgained Western 597-457. They own the time of possession edge, and they were wildly efficient on third down. But turnovers hurt them again as they fell short of the upset. Washburn put on a fireworks display last week versus Northeastern State. Mitch Schurig nearly threw as many touchdowns as incompletions as Washburn rolled to a 70-13 win. On Saturday, first 1-40 wins. The Lions pick up their second win of the season. Final score, Southern 47, Washburn 42. And that brings us now to our MIAA Weekly Game of the Week. For the Gorillas, this is where the going gets tough. After falling in Kansas City to Northwest last week, Pitt now faces Fort Hays State, Central Missouri, and Missouri Western in consecutive weeks. Fort Hays State has quietly won 4 straight after dropping their first 2 games of the season, And oh, by the way, the Tigers have the best scoring defense in the MIAA. The pressure is on in Pittsburgh. A loss for Pitt takes them out of the discussion for a share of the MIAA crown, while a loss for Fort Hays State eliminates the Tigers from the playoff picture. My prediction? Chance Fuller and the Tigers' offense do just enough, and the Gorillas struggle to put up points against this stout Hays defense. Final score, Fort Hays State 23, Pittsburgh State 18. You're listening to MIAA Weekly. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAA Weekly. So our game of the week takes us to Pittsburgh, Kansas, where Fort Hays State, sitting at 4-2 on the year, takes on 5-1 Pittsburgh State in what amounts to an elimination game, as I just alluded to, but it eliminates each team from something different. For Fort Hays State, they've been on a mission since week 3 after dropping back-to-back games in week 1 and 2 to Central Missouri and Missouri Western. The Tigers, the name of the game has been win out. Because if you go 9-2 again and you win out in this league, you might put yourself in a position to sneak into the D2 playoffs. So far, so good. 4 tests, 4 W's. For Pittsburgh State, a season that started with very high expectations, and that's the thing about the closed schedule and the toughness of this league. One loss, and you're midway through the season, and you're against the ropes. For the Gorillas, you know, they still have designs on winning an MIAA championship. Their destiny is not completely in their own hands anymore, but in order for them to have a shot at a share of the league title, they can't lose again. Now, at 5-1, they are far from eliminated from playoff contention, but it's kind of the same thing. You've got to think that they'd feel a lot better about their chances at 10-1 than they would at 9-2. And this Fort Hays State game on Saturday for the Gorillas, hoo boy, it is just the beginning. Because if they get past Fort Hays State this weekend, then they get to take a breath and then go play against the, again, I think possibly the most explosive offense in the country in Warrensburg in Central Missouri. And then if they get past that, they have to come back and face a hungry and aggressive Missouri Western team that more and more is letting Wyatt Siegerwald throw the ball around, and they look scarier and scarier on offense. For Pittsburgh State, and like I said in the top of the show and as I've said throughout the episode today, this four-week stretch is as brutal a stretch as there is in the league for anybody, and Pitt State is right in the middle of it. Now, on the bright side, if they get through this with their only loss being to Northwest, you got to think that solidifies a playoff spot. If they beat Central Missouri, they beat Fort Hays State, they beat Missouri Western, they take the ring off of Central Missouri's finger, and they most likely kick Missouri Western and Fort Hays State one rung down the ladder and out of the playoffs. If they do that in 3 consecutive weeks after losing to Northwest Missouri State, I think a lot of people, a lot of prognosticators, a lot of rankings voters, they start to forgive some of the issues that they saw last week in Arrowhead against Northwest. That's going to do it for today's episode of MIAA Weekly. I truly appreciate everyone listening to the show. And Derek, per your question, I am very, very hopeful that the special announcement that I have now been teasing for over 2 weeks is made sometime in the next 2 days. I'm optimistic that that should happen. I've done some things in the last couple of days that should help that along, but just hang in there. That announcement is hopefully coming. To everyone else, like I said before, thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you enjoy all the football coming up on Saturday. And until next time, daps, high fives, and handshakes.